Good morning, everybody. Let's go ahead and stand up as we worship God. It's a new day. The scriptures tell us to leave everything that's in the past behind and let's dream ahead. Let's sing.
This up, church.
Jesus over everything.
And Jesus over everything. He reigns forevermore.
We lift it up.
I saw
we give you praise. Who can rival our resurrected King? In one moment, He brought death to His knees. All the power, oh, and all authority, to one name over everything. We lift the name of Jesus.
One name over everything.
Yes.
Jesus.
Jesus, you're worthy.
ahead and take a seat.
So I told Kelly I wasn't going to do this, but clearly the Holy Spirit convicted me, and that's why I'm up here. So growing up, I was a troubled teen. I remember feeling really depressed all the time, even as early as 7. I used to tell my mom I felt like I was dreaming and I wanted to wake up. And the thought of things going on, even after death, seemed exhausting. When I was in my teens, I was even more troubled. You know that stuff you see about demonic possession on TV and movies? Now that's pretty extreme and exaggerated to some extent, but I think I had some demons in me throughout my life that followed and remained there until I truly gave my life over to Jesus. I remember one time in high school, I was in math class, and out of nowhere this loud, deafening noise occurred, the kind that reminds you of when a flashbang is thrown, and out of nowhere I heard demonic growling, and I looked around at my classmates and asked them if they heard what I had just experienced. I was astonished to find out they had no idea what I was talking about. It was just the beginning of many experiences I went through. I would go through paranormal activity to the point that my friends were deeply aware it was the sort of thing that only happens around me. I grew afraid of terrors of night. My family was having the same occurring nightmares of demonic entities in my room trying to get me. I also had a persistent wanting to just end things. I found no joy in my life, and I had many suicide attempts, and thank the Lord none of them came to be. Almost every night I was terrified and had to sleep with the lights on, and I thought to myself, why me? It wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I truly gave my life over to Jesus. After going through tumultuous, abusive relationships after one and another and feeling tired of carrying this weight, I didn't know anything about the power of calling on Jesus' name. To me, it seemed so silly. How could calling out his name make any of this go away? But then it did. I don't remember the exact moment, but during one of my night terrors, I called his name, and I found that there was power in his name. And after that, I started praying Psalm 91 over myself and my family. I started giving the Bible a try, and I finally gave worship music a chance. I found myself at peace knowing that whenever it was playing somewhere in a room, the room felt that much more peaceful. Then I felt God calling me to worship him through music. I finally accepted my dad's 1,000th invitation to play on the worship team, and I'm really glad I did. I wasn't instantly reformed. I still have moments where I feel attacked. Even on stage, I was just attacked. I had technical difficulties. But I know that when I call on his name, the name of the Lord, he is there. All I had to do was call on him. Now I know that I wouldn't have been deeply attacked the way I was unless the enemy knew who I belonged to, and that I had something precious that belonged to the Lord. The Lord saw value in me, and wanted to use me. And for me, it's clear it's music. Now I'm different, and all I want to do is praise him. My old friends would have never thought I'd be who I am now. So may Jesus be the name, whether we are in the mountains or the valleys, during our highs and lows, when the sun is shining and when it feels like it's pouring, there is something so sweet about his name. Amen. Thank you. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing about him being the light of the world.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
This is old school, you know it. Sing it out.
Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am, Lord. So here I am to so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, and humbly you came. He came. So here I am to worship, and here I am. And sing. So here I am to
come on, sing with me.
You chose to grace the world that you so love. The hands that turned the universe surrendered to the cross. Despite the sin that separated us, you took the fall once and for all. Salvation's in your blood.
Come on.
What a worthy name, Jesus, Son of God, high and lifted up. Oh, you deserve the praise. And what a worthy name.
Sing it out.
Jesus, Son of God, high and lifted
All right. Good morning, 9 a.m. How are we feeling this morning? Good, good. Hey, well, my name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at KMCC. I oversee the high school ministry as well as the men's ministry. It's a pleasure to serve both ministries where I have to compete with sports the most. But before we begin this morning's message, I wanted to make two little plugs just on what's going on with some of our ministries at our church. So for those of you who don't know, you might have seen and wondered why there's a Christmas tree in our lobby in August. Well, that's because our food pantry actually serves over 200 families, and every year we do a toy drive. Now, normally we'll do it in November, but we wanted to get started early on this. And so we are doing our toy drive in August. Yes, Christmas in August. My wife would argue that there's always the best time to celebrate Christmas is always. And so that's a kind of a point of contention in our marriage, because I disagree. But for the sake of celebration, we have this initiative going on church-wide. So if you're interested in getting involved in that, just head on outside to the lobby. You'll see the Christmas tree. Take a tag off that tree, and you'll get a like an age range of a child who you can buy a gift for. And we encourage you to kind of keep it within the $20 to $25 range. But you can do that. We already are getting so many gifts and toys and presents, and we're only in the pretty much first week of August, week and a half now. So that's a huge one. And then the other thing, shameless plug, men's breakfast is this month as well, August 22nd. A shame if I didn't plug that as the pastor of men's ministry. So if you are interested in fellowship, meeting other men in the church and growing in community, we encourage you to go to that. It's Saturday at 8 a.m., August 22nd, and it's $15 to join. Now, it was June 6th, 1944, D-Day. American paratroopers flew across the English Channel towards France. They had spent months preparing for this moment. They studied maps, memorized objectives. Every soldier had been given a mission. The plan was precise. Jump in in enemy lines before the invasion began. Gather with your unit, secure key positions, and prevent enemy reinforcements from reaching the coast. But when the planes reached Normandy, everything kind of began to fall apart. Darkness fell, covered the countryside, clouds separated aircraft, enemy fire forced pilots to maneuver, and paratroopers who were supposed to land together were scattered across miles of unfamiliar territory. Now imagine being one of those men. You hit the ground in complete darkness. You look around, your commander is nowhere to be found, your unit is nowhere to be found, you don't recognize the field you're standing in. Everything you carefully planned disappeared. And there was one thing that the soldiers still had in possession. They knew the mission. They had the knowledge of what they were supposed to do. And they may have not known exactly where they were, but they knew why they were there. So they started moving. They started coming together, finding one another, some men from completely different units. Officers gathered whoever they could, and they proceeded. And even though the circumstances were confused, the plan was disrupted, the mission didn't change because they knew what they had to do. And knowing the mission gave direction to their steps. Well, this week, we're in our second week of our Colossians series. Colossians, for those of you who don't know, is a letter written by Paul to the Colossians. This is a church he's never been to. They have not seen his face. This was a church that was planted by a man named Epaphras, who was likely a product of Paul's missionary journey when he was in Colossae. The church was thriving. We saw last week that in the beginning of this letter, it's titled Thanksgiving and Prayer in this section. And so last week we looked at the Thanksgiving. Epaphras had visited Paul and he began explaining what was going on, giving testimony what was happening in the church. And so Paul was giving thanks for what God was doing. He was highlighting their faith in Christ, their love for one another, and thankful for the hope that had been restored in heaven amongst the believers. And so he celebrates that, and he also celebrates how the gospel is bearing fruit. And so the first 8 verses last week that we went over kind of go over the whole Thanksgiving part. And this section, the last few verses, 9 to 14, in the first chapter of Colossians, we're going to be looking at the prayer part. And we're looking at Paul's prayer for the church in Colossae. So before we begin, I'm going to pray, and then we will just read it and go from there. So why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get to come together in fellowship and hear from your word to gain knowledge and wisdom from the things that you have to say. Lord, would you speak through me? Spirit, would you engage our hearts and our minds? And Lord, would you above all else get all the glory? In Jesus' name. All right, amen. If you turn with me to Colossians 1, we're going to be in verse 9 and going all the way to verse 14. And I will read it nice and loud if you didn't bring your Bible. It goes like this. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone prayed that over me, I'd be pretty pumped, right? That's a pretty good prayer. But what I love in this verse, there's two clear things that he prays for, and they're kind of more big picture things, but he breaks them down. But he prays for knowledge. So he says a prayer for knowledge and a prayer for a worthy walk. And so we're just gonna kind of break away from the traditional points and kind of just look at these verses and just pick these apart, because there's a lot of great information in this small amount of section of the Bible. So we look at verse 9, right? It says, and from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Here you have a guy who is sold out for Jesus. He's already in prison and he is excited about what God is doing in this church that he's never even been to, like the people that he's never even got to minister to, but he's hearing from the guy he's essentially discipled that God is moving in this church. And he has not ceased to pray. Like, he's not stopped ceasing. He's not stopped praying for this church. And his prayer is that first they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Filled with the knowledge of his will, right? Not just partially filled, filled, consumed with knowledge. Paul doesn't want them to just know facts, but he wants them to be filled with an understanding of God's will. He wants the knowledge of God to fill and shape their lives. God's will here is bigger than just asking, oh, what job should I take, or where should I live, or what career should I have, what decisions should I make? The idea of having this full knowledge of God is understanding God's purpose and his desire and his ways for his people. Paul's making it very clear that understanding God is the key to walking with him, which we'll see. You see, because the goal, when we learn about God, when we read our Bibles, when we pray, when we walk in faith and we learn about God, the hope is that it wouldn't just become information, right? The hope would be that we would see actual transformation based off of what we know. And so his prayer for knowledge of his will and the understanding and wisdom to use it. Knowledge alone isn't enough, right? Knowledge, just knowing things about God, is not enough for us as believers. We can know so much about God, but where wisdom comes in is knowing how to take that truth and apply it to our lives and to live it out in such a way that we honor God, that we walk in a way that is worthy. You can know a lot of scripture and make a lot of bad decisions. You can be very theological in your understanding and be terrible to people. Paul's prayer here is that we would not only know God's truth, but have the wisdom and understanding to be filled with it, to live according to it, so that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I have not stopped praying for you that you would be filled with so much truth, that you would be so sold out, that you would have such a clear understanding and wisdom to apply it, that you would walk in such a way that is worthy of the Lord. That's just the first verse. He now continues and leads into the main emphasis of this passage, is what walking with the Lord looks like. What a worthy way of walking with the Lord looks like. He says, we do all this so that, so as to, right? My prayer is that you would be filled with the knowledge of God, with his will, with understanding and wisdom, so that you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm praying that you receive this knowledge so that you can walk fully pleasing to him. We know God so that we can walk with him. We learn about God so we can walk in a way that honors him, that is worthy to him. And then Paul begins to describe what that looks like, right? But the word walk is a descriptive of how we should live our everyday life. So in our relationships, in our decisions, in our attitudes, in our work, in our character, that we would walk in such a way that is worthy of the Lord based on the knowledge that we have. And then Paul gives us three kind of pictures of what a worthy walk would look like. And the first picture we see is that a worthy walk has growth. A worthy walk produces fruit. Verse 10 says, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. A good marker of somebody who is growing, a good marker of somebody who is seeing transformation instead of just holding on to information, is fruit. Fruit produces growth. Knowledge produces fruit. And then fruit also then produces more knowledge. Fruit is the result of being saved. Fruit is not what saves us, okay? Loving people well, reading, you know, having patience, having all these gifts that the Holy Spirit can grant us are all great things, but they are products of our salvation that was already secured. And that, again, comes from the knowledge and understanding that we have in God. If Christ is changing us, something should begin to show, right? We should be seeing love in our lives. We should be seeing generosity, service, forgiveness, integrity, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness. It proves that the information and the knowledge that we have isn't just information. It's proof that it's transformation. It's proof that God is doing something in our lives. It's proof that God is changing the way we think, changing how we interact with people, changing how we see him, changing how we see the world, growing our character, changing our perspectives, completely transforming us. But again, that comes from being filled with the knowledge of his will. A good question to ask if you're wondering if you're being transformed is what is your relationship doing and what is it changing in your life? What's it producing in your life? Now, I'll be clear, we're not looking for perfection. God's not looking for perfection. We're not going to be perfected until we get to heaven. But there's a process, and we call that sanctification. There's a constant growth that happens as we continue to mature in Christ. Is it transformation or is it information? Is what you know of God changing how you live? He then again emphasizes that he prays that not only would you be filled with that knowledge, but that you would continue to grow in that knowledge, increasing in the knowledge of God. When it comes to God, there's always room to grow. And the moment that I think I know enough about God is the moment I am in trouble. Because spiritual maturity means continually growing deeper in our knowledge of who he is, which comes through walking with him in faith, learning about him, being in the word, being in community, being in worship. The more we walk with God, the more we know God. See how it's kind of like a cyclical thing, right? Know God, walk in such a way, continue to know God, continue to walk in such a way, you see growth. Knowing God's a lifelong journey. The more we know God, the more we grow, and the more we grow, the more we desire to know him. This isn't something we do on our own. Paul then continues in verse 11. He says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. A worthy walk is also empowered by God. We cannot walk in a worthy manner outside of God. It has to be empowered by him. Walking worthy is depending on God. Our strength comes from him. Notice how it doesn't say being strengthened with our own willpower, with our own desires, with our own might, but according to his glorious might, that we would be strengthened. Paul's very clear, we need his power to walk in a manner that's worthy of him. He's the source of our strength. Walking in a way that's worthy of God is walking in dependency on him, knowing that we're incapable of fully living out what God requires of us. We need the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of us operate off of the knowledge of, I need to try harder at being a better Christian. I need to read my Bible a lot more for God to be happy with me. I need to do this, I need to do that. But what Paul's prayer here is saying, no, my prayer is that you would be dependent on God, that you would rely on his strength, that you would bear fruit according to his strength, that you would continue to grow in your knowledge because of his strength. Depend more deeply on God, not on ourselves. And I wonder how many of us are in here, sitting in here, exhausted because of how much we're trying on our own strength. Exhausted that we're trying to grow closer to Jesus, we're trying to grow in our faith, but for some reason, nothing is happening. And we keep trying all these different things and going to all these different groups and not submitting to God and relying on him to do the work so that fruit may produce. We need to rely on him, and this is Paul's prayer. He tells us why we need to rely on him, because it gives us for all endurance and patience and joy. That we continue to grow in our fruit and in our knowledge and in walking in a way that is worthy of God and asking for strength and depending on him so that we can endure and have patience and joy when life just crumbles, when things are tough, when things don't make sense. See, endurance is remaining faithful when circumstances are difficult. Patience is remaining faithful when we don't see an end or when people are difficult. And then Paul adds to that with joy. Joy is a deep, lasting sense of gladness and well-being, knowing that God has us. And it can only come from God. Joy is a product of God. It's not just a happiness. And, oh yeah, you know, life is terrible, but I'm happy. No, life is terrible, but I know that God has me. And I'm glad for that. Life is difficult, but I know that God has me, and I'm glad for that. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, I'll be more joyful if God, you just remove that problem. But sometimes God gives us the strength to remain faithful through the problem so that we can experience patience and joy and grow in our endurance. And when we do that, we begin to grow in our knowledge again of his faithfulness. walking in a manner that is worthy of the Lord is relying on God's strength. It relies on who he is. It endures with patience. It endures with joy. And then the last part, Paul just kind of takes off with the gospel. And he says, another way to walk that's worthy of the Lord is by being grateful. A worthy walk shows gratitude. He begins by saying, giving thanks to the Father. Worship, right? It's an act of worship based on the wonderful knowledge of what we have in Christ. Giving thanks to the Father because he has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. If you have your Bibles and you do not have this highlighted, highlight that verse. Notice who qualifies us. God did. God qualifies you. We didn't earn our place. We can't earn our place. We didn't make ourselves worthy. God qualified us through Christ. Can I just take a moment? I need you to hear these words, okay? Because this is what this is saying. You are qualified in Christ. You are qualified in Christ. You have been given a place among God's people and a share in his promise. I think a lot of us know all of the good things we should do, right? That's the, we can walk in that part because that's our knowledge and it determines our steps. But this is where the knowledge becomes transformational. Do you understand that you are qualified? In Christ, you are qualified. You don't have to wonder if you're worthy of his salvation. You don't have to wonder if that sin you committed yesterday or even this morning disqualifies you from your inheritance in Christ. That if you're sitting in this room as a believer in Jesus, you have been covered by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, you are qualified to partake in this inheritance. Like that's where that knowledge becomes real. That's where we like live out the knowledge of this truth. Because we can sit there and say, yeah, I'm qualified. But when push comes to shove and you mess up and you're in your darkest moment and you're beating yourself up, do you understand that because of Jesus, you are qualified? And that is a reason why we give thanks. Because it has nothing to do with what we can accomplish, but everything to do with what he accomplished on the cross. That's the beautiful thing. And Paul's prayer is that you would understand that bit of knowledge, that that is part of his will for you, that you are qualified, that you are set free, that you are restored in Jesus, that he has delivered us, verse 13, from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Salvation is way more than becoming a better person. It's rescue. We have been rescued. We've been brought out of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. If you're sitting in this room and you've put your faith in Christ, this is your future. Your allegiance has changed. Your identity has changed. Your citizenship has changed. Your king has changed. And he has qualified you. You don't have to worry. You just have to hope in the future that he's promised. And he continues, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. This is why we're qualified in Christ. We have redemption. We've been released. We've been forgiven. The sins that separated us from God have been dealt with. They're done. And I think a lot of us can sit there and know that this is true. But I think a lot of us walk in such a way that we forget that it's true. Because we sit in our shame and we sit in and dwell in our guilt. And there's a big clear line between conviction and shame, right? It's one thing to be convicted, and it's right to be convicted. That's the work of the Spirit. But the moment we forget that we are secured and saved by the blood of Jesus and not by our own works, that we're qualified because of what Jesus did, that's the moment we walk away in a manner that's not worthy of the Lord, because we forget. See where I'm getting at? You see what Paul is trying to do? He's trying to say, look, if you understand what Jesus has done, my prayer is that you would understand what Jesus has done. My prayer is that you would be so filled with this understanding that you would know that you are forgiven, that you are secured, that you are qualified, that you are set free, so that you may walk in such a way that bears fruit, that honors God, that gives him glory, and that continues to grow you in your knowledge of this wonderful truth. There's a reason why Paul is even starting this whole letter with the gospel, because it sets up the whole rest of the letter. Because it's out of the gospel that we know our mission. It's out of the gospel that we know how we're supposed to live. It's out of the gospel we know that who we are in Christ determines how we walk. And when we're filled with that knowledge, we begin to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. And when we walk in a manner that's worthy of the Lord, we begin to remember and grow in our knowledge of the beautiful truth that we hold on to. It all comes down to Jesus. Paul's prayer is that we would understand Jesus, that we would know who he is, that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will to save man, to dwell with him, to restore and secure, and then to bring us along with him on that mission, to become more like Christ. Living in a way that is worthy of him through our dependence on him and his power to bear fruit, to endure faithfully, and live with gratitude because of what he's done out of the knowledge we've received of who he is. Is what you know about God changing how you walk? Because the days might darken. You might not know where your people are, what you're supposed to do, what the mission is still clear, right? And when everything falls apart, the mission is still clear. When everything falls apart, you still know that you are secure. When everything falls apart, you still know that you're qualified. When everything falls apart, you still know that you're forgiven, that your inheritance is in Jesus. And with that knowledge, you can walk anywhere and you can walk through anything, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how lost you are. And you will find endurance and patience and joy. The goal of knowing Jesus is not becoming more informed, it's becoming more like him and depending more on him. Let's pray. God, I just pray over all of us at this church. I pray that we would be filled with the knowledge of your will, that we would be filled with the knowledge of who you are, that with our wisdom and understanding that we would actually grasp this truth that we are saved and secured and qualified, that in you, because of what you've done on the cross, we don't have to try to earn your love. We don't have to do to earn your love. We don't have to rely on ourselves. God, you've done it all for us. And through that, Lord, would we walk in such a way that is worthy of you, bearing fruit, growing more in our understanding, and worshiping you for the things that you've done for us. God, I just thank you. Thank you for your gospel. I thank you for your truth. And I pray that that would just really sit with us in our hearts. That that wouldn't just be information, that when we're in our darkest moments, when we start to doubt and we start to wonder, that we would rely on the power of your truth and the strength of what you say is what you mean. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Yeah. So the month of August, we are doing a community impact initiative. You might have seen these cards around. And we are trying to bless the kids of the families of our food pantry. So if you go into the lobby, you'll find a tree that has an age, and whether it's a little boy, a little girl, and then you can go and pick up a present that would be applicable to them, and then at Christmas time, we'll be able to hand those out. So an amazing opportunity. If you want to know more, you can talk with Regan and Melanie at the table. Let's see. We're going to also remember our middle schoolers. They get back tonight, so keep them in your prayers from their camp. And for those of you that also helped them get there, thank you for that. And now we're gonna go into our time of offering. Being able to, yes, be able to worship through our giving. So there are three ways to give that are right on the screen, or you can scan that QR code. So would you pray with me? God, this is so valuable to be able to have the things that are so important to us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would put the gospel over our own tangible finances, Lord. Lord, that we would be willing to give to you what you have already given to us. God, we just thank you that you are a God of abundance. And Lord, we look forward to how you're going to use this to continue to advance your kingdom. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Frank McCarthy. I'm one of the elders here at Camry Community Church. I want to welcome anybody who's new. And if you are new, go ahead and go out to the tent. They have information they can give you to find out more about CAMCC. And also, we have a prayer team here after each service. Those of you who want prayer or need prayer, feel free to pop on up, and we'd love to pray for you. We also have prayer during second service for our search for our new pastor in the prayer room down the hall. And we'll be there anytime you want. Feel free to drop in and pray there too. So with that, I hope that you guys go out and grab some donuts and coffee. They're out there ready for you. And have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.
Camarillo. Hi, my name is Darius.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth.
Hi, my name is Henry.
And we are part of the CAMCC
High School Ministry.
If you are a guest today, welcome. Check out the new to CAMCC tent on the patio to receive a $5 Starbucks gift card on us.
If it's your second time, we're so glad to have you back. Make sure you pick up your $10 In-N-Out gift card at the tent as well.
Or if you're watching online, go to camcc.net/next steps to sign up.
If there's anything you need, please let us know. A Bible, have questions about CAMCC, or today you decided to follow Jesus, head over to the tent and let us celebrate with you. We are so glad you're here.
The month of August, stock the Slate Toy Drive. For the month of August, we will be collecting toys to distribute to our food pantry kids in December. Bring a brand new unwrapped toy on any Sunday in August to the table on the patio. If you need some toy ideas, we have a wish list available, or go to camcc.net/impact for more info. August 22nd, men's breakfast, 8 to 10 a.m. Gentlemen, join us for some great food, fellowship, and an encouraging message. $15, sign up at camcc.net/events, or connect with Brandon at camcc.net.
Fall growth group signups. Signups begin August 23rd and launch the week of September 15th. This is a safe place to connect, share, pray, and study the Word of God together in just an 8-week commitment. If you are newer to CAMCC, try it out. There are a variety of choices from sermon-based to topical groups and even classes you can sign up for, including a marriage class, parenting class, and new believers study. Sign up for a group and childcare if needed at camcc.net/growthgroups or email lisa@camcc.net.
Sunday, August 30th, Next Steps membership class, 12:30 to 2 p.m. One-time class to become a member of CAMCC. Find out what it means to be a member, meet the staff, Q&A, and enjoy free lunch. Child care is available. Sign up before August 23rd at camcc.net/membership. For more info, connect with jacob@camcc.net. If you need prayer, we have our prayer team up front willing to pray for you at the conclusion of the gathering. Again, we are so glad that you came here today.
Make sure you are following us on our socials.
And to stay in the loop of what is going on, or for more info on any of these events, go to campcc.net.